November 22nd, 1963. I was just a little boy, 13 years old. I remember my English teacher, Miss Leonard, coming in, crying, sobbing, because she saw this.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
It was the first time Walter Cronkite ever really teared up while he was on the air. You know, we've never been the same since, have we? In a moment, Richard Belzer joins us. His latest work, Hit List, an in-depth investigation into the mysterious deaths of the witnesses to the JFK assassination. Richard's with us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Now, our special guest tonight, he's been with me before when we talked about his book, Dead Wrong, Straight Facts on the Country's Most Controversial Cover-Ups. He, of course, is an actor, author, stand-up comedian as well, currently on the cast, best known as John Munch on the NBC show Law and Order, Special Victims Unit, and he has written such books as UFOs, Elvis, we're going to talk about JFK, and so much more. Welcome back, Richard Belzer. Richard, always.
This is a thrill for me. I'm not in awe of many people, but you're one of my heroes, and here I am in the studio with you. So I'm like a kid in a candy store. This is a subject. No, this show I've been listening to for years. My daughter and son-in-law listened to it, and we're total coast-to-coast freaks. In a good way, you know, and we've learned a lot from this show. So I'm just thrilled to be here. I got to go. Nice to see you, George.
Yeah, don't you leave on me. Hey, by the way, our dear friend Richard C. Hoagland sends you his best wishes as well.
Yeah, he's an inspirational one of a researcher.
Monuments on Mars.
Yeah, and you know what's fascinating about that is how much documentation that he's uncovered over the years, and how clear it is, and how there's really no conventional explanation for what he's saying. So he's done some important work showing us where the NASA has blurred stuff,
sure,
and who knows what's going on up there.
You are very good at everything you do. I mean, you're a superb actor. You're a great comedian. You're a great author, and that's tough. I know that, by the way. It's tough being an author. But you run the gamut, Richard, in all these different areas. And, you know, on the face of it, one would say, okay, he's a great comedian. I mean, you started that way as a comedian. How could he be such a great researcher in the conspiracies and areas like that? How did you round yourself out like that?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, before I was in show business, I was a newspaper reporter. And freelance writer.
Old newsman.
Yeah, real. You know, Bridgeport Post, 8-column old school newspaper. I was a court reporter and started out writing obituaries, which is when that's where every reporter starts on a newspaper. In the old days, everyone starts in the obituaries and then you move up.
That's right.
So I became a court reporter and then I went to another paper and I was allowed to write some editorials. Ever since I was, as long as I can remember, I always was suspicious and questioned authority, from my parents to teachers to, there was just something in me that always was like questioning things, and it cost me a lot. I got thrown out of every school I ever went to.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I for some reason I knew, I don't know how to verbalize this, but I just knew that the grown-ups, in quotes, didn't really know everything. And I could sense when they were, you know, just patronizing me, making stuff up. Like, I remember when I was very little, my mother would be driving around with one of her sisters, and they would be gossiping and saying something about someone, and they would say something awful, and then they look at each other and look down at me, and then they keep talking like, oh, he's not. But I remember everything. You know.
Yeah.
I have an amazing memory, and I really learned very early on not to trust authority. I don't know why. But then when President Kennedy was head exploded in broad daylight, we all, you know, that was the day things started to go wrong, as the journalist said that day. And we all were in shock. Then the guy who allegedly killed him, he shot while in police custody. So for 3 days, there was this incredible, massive mind control of the whole country. We're all in grief. We're all vulnerable. We all thought this one guy did it, you know, and then he gets shot.
And then the guy who shot him dies.
Gets fast-acting cancer. But I didn't think about conspiracies in the 60s, in the early 60s. But then when the Vietnam War was like heating up, and when Dr. King spoke out against the Vietnam War, that's when they murdered him. That was the straw. I mean, they hated him. They blackmailed him. They, you know, the other attempts were made. But here's a Nobel Peace Prize winner saying, why should, you know, people who can't, you know, eat or get on a bus, go and die? You know, I'm paraphrasing brutally. But so that kind of made, and then Bobby Kennedy was killed like 2 months later. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and then here's what really turned me on to the whole world of conspiracies deeply is when Watergate happened, I saw some of the same names that were involved in the Bay of Pigs.
Yes.
And that was the big light bulb in my head. Exactly. That presidents are part-time workers. We live in a permanent national security state, and we got to look at things totally differently now. And then, of course, Iran-Contra, even some of the same people involved in the Bay of Pigs were involved in Iran-Contra. Mm-hmm. So there's this thread that I was very intrigued by. And I'm a big Holmes, Conan Doyle guy. I'm a big film noir guy, and I'm very much into history of World War II and what happened from then on. And so... You know, I, as I get older, you know, I'm even more, and people say, you know, like, I think everything is a conspiracy until you prove it isn't, rather than the other way around.
Right. Why can't we trust right now, Richard?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was being interviewed for the book and people are asking me about Boston and saying, you know, some people are saying the government did it, you know, just reflexively.
Yeah.
Now, whether the government did it or not is not the point. I mean, it is the point, but the point is that if people are thinking that, not stupid people, smart people are saying, wait a minute, we were lied to about Iran-Contra, we were lied to about this, we were lied into two wars, Iraq, we were lied into that. I mean, we've been lied to,
Vietnam,
lied to.
We were lied to.
Vietnam was a lie. Americans are basically isolationists. They don't want to be in war. We were lied into World War I. We invented, this is interesting because it mirrors how we got into the first war in the Middle East when we went into Kuwait and all that stuff. The propaganda in World War One was that the Germans are, the Huns are bayoneting Belgian babies. And there's a political cartoon with a spiked helmet and a German soldier.
World War One.
So to get us riled, because we didn't want to be in World War One. So they had to do, so then when Kuwait happened, we had a girl come on and testify before Congress how Hussein's people took the babies from the incubators and let them die on the cold floor. She was a diplomat's daughter.
Never
who happened. Was coached by an acting teacher.
That's right.
To cry in front of the... So then we went... Americans are very open-hearted, compassionate people. We don't want to go to war, but we are tricked. Gulf of Tonkin, the Korean War... I mean, you name it. There's the only justifiable war, obviously, was World War II. And what's interesting about that is, and we can get into this, is that Hitler never declared, I mean, we never declared war on Germany. Hitler was in Paris in 1940. We still didn't declare war. I have nightmares about how long we would have waited if he didn't declare war on us.
Do you know what I mean? And in a bizarre way. Supported by many U.S. corporations.
Not bizarre, factually proven.
And Alan Dulles, who went on to head up the CIA...
Should be hung for treason.
...was helping the Nazis.
Dulles brothers, throughout the 1930s in Switzerland, figured out how to help American and English bankers get money into Germany. The reason we had a depression in this country is because Teddy Roosevelt was against these big... businesses and was a, you know, trust buster, and you know, he was for the little guy. And so when he went after them, the Harrimans, the Rockefellers, Joe Kennedy, the DuPonts, Bush, Prescott Bush, all the rich families in America started investing in Germany.
Yes, you're right.
Because they you could have cartels there and all this stuff. So they caused our depression. And then, you know, they loved Hitler. He came in, but then he was the dog on the chain who pulled away and confiscated, you know, all the banks. So we had to go to war with Hitler.
Out. That's right.
But when President Roosevelt, FDR, not Teddy, of course, he wanted the German bankers to go on trial at Nuremberg for financing the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And the German bankers said before they went on trial, we're just doing what American bankers told us to do.
Yeah.
So they weren't put on trial. And Dulles, through the Vatican, gave Nazi war criminals new identities and smuggled them into this country. In fact, our early CIA guys were trying to catch Nazis. Alan Dulles is over in the State Department hiding the very, so, you know, people say you can't, you know.
Wasn't that one of the reasons, though, Kennedy wanted him out of the CIA?
Kennedy fired him.
He bounced him.
Because, yes, because they lied. Kennedy learned that the CIA had gone beyond its charter and were starting wars, not just doing spying and covert stuff. Vietnam was a CIA thing. They lied to him about,
they didn't even tell him about the Bay of Pigs until it was too late.
Well, it was an Eisenhower-Nixon thing. No one thought Kennedy was going to win. As soon as Nixon won, they were going to go in
and finish the job.
So Kennedy wins, and now they have to lie. They lied to him. Some of the Joint Chiefs and the CIA told John Kennedy that if we go in there, the Cuban people will rise up, but we need this certain air cover. So Kennedy said, look, the Cubans have 10 airplanes in their air force. If you disable those planes, then, you know, we'll do something, mm-hmm. right? So they got, for some reason that day, two of their planes were in Chile. We destroyed 8 of their planes, but they still had 2 left. Now, here's what's fishy about it. The landing site of the rebels or whatever you want, and the CIA mercenaries that were going to go there, they were supposed to rendezvous in a mountain range, but the landing site was impossibly far away. This was a setup
from the get-go.
Kennedy. They tried to blow up a Russian ship to embarrass Kennedy. And so that's when he realized that he was lying. He took full responsibility, which no president does.
Richard, didn't they
and he
also
fired Dulles?
Right. But didn't they also put Cubans who were going to fight against Castro on a ship that had an engine that wasn't working right? I mean, the whole thing was
well,
screwed
the
up.
Two ships that they used, the operation was called Operation Zapata. The two ships were called the Barbara and the Houston. Okay, George Bush owns an oil company named Zapata Oil. He named his two tankers after his wife Barbara and Houston, Texas, where the company's from. So he lent us his ships for this covert operation to invade Cuba, but it was really a way to trick Kennedy into a war, because the mob, the Cuban exiles and the right wing and the military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about, loved Cuba. They're running guns through there, running drugs. It was a bait.
And the mob loved Cuba?
The mob, you know, so it's like Kennedy realized, whoa. He took responsibility, said, I'm going to scatter the CIA into 1,000 pieces. And that's, according to Fletcher Prouty, was the beginning of when they said, this guy has
got to go. Yeah, I think you're
right. But there's 100 other things.
Everybody just jumped on the bandwagon. I mean, there were so many groups.
People say to me, who killed Kennedy? I say, who didn't kill him?
Who didn't?
The oil people hated him. The bankers hated him. The Cuban exiles.
The CIA hated
CIA elements. See, it wasn't the government as an institution that killed him. It was elements within the government. But then people in the government had to cover it up because they were at the height of the Cold War. We didn't want the Russians to think we're a banana republic. So it gets really messy, because people to this day are sticking to the story. But there's no reason to not find out what happened anymore, because there's no national security issue. All the plotters are dead. A couple of the shooters are still alive. 2 of them are in jail. And you know, it's an insult to the American people that our kids go to school and in the history books it says John Kennedy was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald, and then they go on to the next subject. It's a ghostly part of our history that we as citizens have a right to know. They exploded our president's head in broad daylight. I mean, a man died that day. We forget about. We lose all that.
Well, I was 13. How old were you?
I was in college. I was 18, I think, or 19.
All right. And why is it, Richard, that we knew at our age that there was something wrong here.
Not right away.
I did.
You did. Well, that's good for you.
I did. There was.
I just felt that
this guy couldn't get all those shots off with that kind of a rifle. I was 13 years old.
Well, good for you. That's very astute.
And when he said on camera, "I'm a patsy."
That should have been, you know, most people will kill a famous person and then brag and do it for the fame. And even books are written about, well, Oswald did it. But he kept denying it.
Yeah.
Well, getting into all that, I mean, obviously there were at least two Oswalds. One of them was very smart. And the other one was kind of the patsy guy. Or I don't know if they killed the smart one. But we know for a fact now, this is why I'm excited about my book, Hit List, because if anyone doubts there ever was a conspiracy, my book with my partner David Wayne is a history book. It's not a conspiracy book. It's a history book that lays out factually these deaths and these so-called suicides and murders, and shows you what happened, the official verdict, the circumstances, the inconsistencies were heavily footnoted, and some researchers have got it up to 300 people died or in around it.
Amazing.
But we wanted to be very responsible. Mm-hmm. We got it down to 50, which is a huge number. And if there's no conspiracy, why are people being murdered just before they're going to testify? Why are people who are going to write about it dead?
They were dying almost from the get-go.
Well, they kept, you know, anytime there was an investigation, people would drop like flies. In the 70s, there was the assassination, the House Committee on Assassination, Roselli, Sam Giancana. Sam Giancana was under house arrest, being guarded, and he was going to testify the next day. He was shot in the back and then five times around his mouth under police protection.
Yeah.
Johnny Roselli was going to testify. He was found chopped up in a barrel floating off the bay in Key Biscayne.
And these guys knew something.
Well, no, Johnny Roselli, we now know, was hired by William Harvey from our government to put together a plot to kill Castro. That's in mainstream, mm-hmm. not maybe in every mainstream, but that's common knowledge, that we recruited the mob to help us kill Castro.
Isn't it amazing Castro is still out there? He's the only one left?
It's so ridiculous, the whole thing, because we have a Marine base in Guantanamo. Like, Cuba's a threat. It's weird. We contained the Soviet Union for 60 years.
The mistake and Castro made, Richard, was he went communist too quickly.
Well, you know why?
That was his mistake.
But you know why he went communist? There was a moment after the revolution where he was up for grabs. We could have romanced him and taken care of him and nurtured him. He came to the United States before any communist thing, and the Waldorf Astoria would not give him a room.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He was turned away. All his people, you know, the diplomatic thing. So what does he do? He goes up to Harlem, gets a hotel room, and sets up shop there. No American diplomats or anybody to visit him. Who did? Khrushchev. The Russians went and said, look, we'll pay your, you know, we could have had him. And we treated him like garbage.
We did the same thing to Ho Chi Minh. You know?
That's the most heartbreaking thing. Ho Chi Minh wrote 7 letters to our government. He thought that we would identify with him trying to break the yoke of the colonialism the way we did with England.
Mm-hmm.
The North Vietnam was a small country. He was worried that Ho Chi Minh was a great thinker, poet, really an amazing guy. And he felt that Americans wouldn't even notice little Vietnam.
Hold on for a second, Richard. We're going to hit this break. We're going to come right back. Richard Belzer with us. Hit List. We'll get into that, too, on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, we're with Richard Belzer, his book, Hit List. We're going to get into that fascinating reading. Richard, by the way, ever get to Denver?
Yeah, I love Denver. I did a plant medicine conference there.
We have to fly you to our TV show. It's called Beyond Belief.
Right.
And we tape for them once a month.
Oh, cool.
So we can plan the right weekend with you, maybe.
I would love to do
it. Get you up there. Okay?
I'll do it on my way out here.
And if you want to watch the program, it is free for 10 days. Just go to our website, click hosts, and the TV button opens up. And take advantage of that and all the other videos. You can watch us Beyond Belief. The show airs Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern time. But because it's internet-based, you can watch it
whenever you want.
Whenever
it's
you
great.
Want.
It's great.
And we'll be back with Richard Belzer in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Richard Belzer with us, his book, Hit List. Richard, why can't we just openly trust government? Why are we so suspicious of everything? I mean, you love America.
Yes,
I love America.
Yes, that's what's so heartbreaking.
Why can't we trust?
Well, because particularly in the last, let's say, here's what I think. I think it started with Richard Nixon in a way, because up until then, no one ever heard a president swear. No one, you know, ever thought a president would order people to break in. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute. You know, Americans.
Though they probably did, but we never heard tapes like that before.
No, I think you'd be surprised how I remember this very well. How many people, I was shocked that people were shocked that the president swore.
Yeah.
It was like, but then when they heard him say Jew and the N word,
right?
You know, that really was chilling. And then they realized that, you know, he was bombing Cambodia illegally. I mean, he lied about Vietnam. He kept us there longer. He had a secret plan, which was a lie, and it cost our kids that went over there. He's a murderer.
But,
he's a war criminal.
And I think they distrusted even before that.
No, but, well, it started with, if you want to start, you start with prohibition. That really, the collective consciousness of the country, you know, a handful of zealots, sound familiar, imposed their will on the rest of the country. Most people didn't want prohibition, but they got it passed. You know what I mean? Most people want background checks, but we can't get them.
And those who didn't want it made money on it anyway, right?
Yes. And the thing is, you say, why do people first think of the government? A lot of people don't vote. They don't feel they can have an effect. When George Bush won, senior, he got like 28% of the vote, because 50% or 48% of the people didn't vote. So he won the majority of
those
so
who
it was
voted.
Really, it was one out of four people voted for him.
Right.
So, I mean, people, they see, you know, Vietnam, they see Watergate, they see, you know, and then other things keep going on. They see people shot, you know.
Do they think about the Kennedy assassination?
Well, I think that started it, because at first everyone wanted to trust the government. And, you know, as I say, they were grief stricken and in shock. But then, you know, the Jim Garrison trial came along and kind of reawakened people. His staff was infiltrated by 9 CIA agents. Every witness he wanted was either thrown out of town or murdered.
How close was Garrison?
Garrison was on to something, but he was so vilified and so, I mean, it was amazing what what they did to that guy. But he definitely was onto something. You know, for instance, he said that Clay Shaw was using the alias of Clay Bertrand, who called a lawyer to represent Oswald. Well, it was Clay Shaw. He also said Clay Shaw was in the CIA, which wasn't allowed, but we find out Clay Shaw, not only was he was in the OSS, which was pre to the CIA, he was one of the guys that was debriefing Nazis. Clay Shaw.
Yeah.
So, and he was also involved in Permandex, which was a very shady corporation that was thrown out of Switzerland even, and was a front for some extreme right wing. I mean, Clay Shaw was up to this. I mean, David Ferry was murdered just before he was going to testify. Some people think he flew some of the shooters out. The woman that Ferry was working with, a doctor, they were working on some strangest stuff, fast-acting cancer and Ferry was a really bizarre character. Lee Harvey Oswald was in the Civil Patrol, which is like the Boy Scouts.
And they knew him.
Ferry, there's pictures of Ferry and Oswald, and Oswald was 14.
Yeah.
So, you know, it gets... So, aside from the Kennedy assassination, people just keep seeing things going on. And then, of course, the savings and loans scandal, where, you know, that was reverse bank robbery. Remember that? They got off. They stole all this money, and people go, wait a minute. And then, you know, recently we had this meltdown. People were like, wait a minute, foreign banks own my house? It's like, it's incremental, drip by drip, death by a thousand tiny cuts. So the average person in the street who doesn't read 20 newspapers a day, isn't on the internet, like, you know, we're researchers and we do that. The average person is worried about, you know, the rent, the family, the kids or whatever.
Sure.
They don't have time. But now it's just so overwhelming that the government lies us into wars. They don't tell us really what's in the atmosphere. They don't, you know what I mean? It's like, whoa. So even the average person now is getting stressed out.
Let me ask you, why can't they just tell us the truth?
Well, because it's not in their interest. It's in their interest to sow within us a little bit of insecurity,
fear.
But it's also they want us to be worried about our jobs and if we can consume products. So anytime spirituality comes up, it's marginalized or crushed. You know, the hippie movement, for instance, here's a great example. Here are these kids coming along who are rebelling against conformity, which every generation does.
Everyone
but this
does.
One was a little
they
bit
were a little more vocal,
a little bit more scary, because there was a Vietnam War, there was civil rights, there was, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the 60s,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So what does our government do? And this is their, you know, this is, I'm not making this up. They had a guy from the CIA pretend he was an acid dealer, grew a ponytail, moved to Haight-Ashbury, and was giving out thousands. It's on record. You could find this. Dulles ordered millions of doses of LSD to distribute among the hippies because he thought it would just make them all crazy.
Well,
but it backfired. It made them, like, you know, respect nature more.
And happy,
like,
and stuff.
But they literally, right. There's a book called Acid Dreams.
Well, they tested it on somebody, the CIA.
Well, they tested it on their own people.
And the guy jumped out a window or something.
Well, they threw him out a window. He's the first chapter of my other book, Dead Wrong, Frank Olson.
They threw
an American hero who was appalled at interrogation techniques. He found that we were using poison in North Korea that was against the Nuremberg protocols. He saw interrogation techniques that were repellent to him. He was going to leave the agency. What happens is somebody visits him, and they do to him what he was appalled about.
And out
they slipped
window
him LSD, they hit him out over the head, and they threw him out this window, which was plate glass. Impossible. He would have had to run 50 yards to build up.
They at 100 miles an hour.
The manager of the hotel said that, you know, that's, you know, there was a blackout curtain,
too thick.
Plate
yeah.
glass. There was a bathtub next to the window, so it was impossible. He was thrown through the window, and because he was appalled. And you know what's scary right now, George? Barack Obama is going after whistleblowers more than any other president.
Why?
Why? I don't know.
I mean, everything
and he
seems...
still, he could still render... They could still, when you leave this building, they could put a hood over your head and disappear you.
I wouldn't
be
on the
no,
air.
No, they could do that.
Don't give
them
any ideas.
No, I'm hip. I'm just saying, well, we're too famous. They won't do that to us. But they can do it. So what happened, you know, and here's another major thing that just came out, 536-page report, bipartisan, which is interesting, saying and using the word torture over and over again, that we tortured people. And, you know, so that means that George Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Dick Cheney committed treason. They lied us into a war in the Nuremberg trials. Mm-hmm. Part of the thing was the greatest crime a country can commit is to start an unprovoked war against another sovereign
right.
nation. And we did it. And everybody knows it. And now it's official, bipartisan. Do you hear about it in the news?
And it's still
did you hear
us.
About this story?
No.
Shouldn't that be blaring headlines?
Yep.
No. And also Obama is committing treason by continuing these illegal activities. I mean, Bush made lawyers bend into pretzels to change, somehow find loopholes in the Geneva Convention. I mean, come on. Even George Washington would kill any of his soldiers who tortured any British prisoner.
So are you saying that distrust in direction of government is
it's healthy.
Probably healthy
unfortunately,
and necessary right
it
now.
Doesn't mean that the truth isn't out there. It just means that you cannot trust one source. Like,
but know, it doesn't mean also there's a conspiracy under every rock. Here's an example.
Well,
I mean, I am strongly convinced
yes sir
that those two bombers in Boston
yes
worked with each other, maybe got some help from some people who taught them about bombs and stuff. But I don't think the government did this. I think these were two whacked out kids and they did this heinous thing. But there are some people out there, Richard, maybe you, I don't know, who are convinced that it's a setup.
Here's what's suspicious about this. There are these two Chechen kids. Now, Chechnya is a mostly Muslim country, and they are a rebel state who tried to secede from the rest of
from the Soviets. And they did, and the Russians fight with them.
We championed, you know, John McCain went on the floor of the Senate and extolled these Chechen, you know, they're murderous thugs, okay? But for some reason, people in our government were championing them because they were standing up against the Soviet Union.
Right.
Now, people don't know, but we recruited Chechen fighters. They were in Iraq. They were, you know, we used the Chechens as cutouts, as mercenaries.
And Afghanistan.
Yeah. So, first of all, these two kids, these types of bombs, you have to test them. I do not believe that they just planted it one time and got lucky and did it. So they had to prepare somewhere. I don't believe they did it alone. This term of self-radicalization smacks to me of Orwellian, you know, newspeak, where this is very fishy because, as you recall, they said they had the guy and the press came to where they had him and then they made the press go away. And
that was the nude guy.
Why would they say to the press, we got him, and then say we don't have him? It's very, you know, I understand why people are questioning this story.
I
don't know who did it, but these kids did not do it by themselves. I do not believe. My nickname them Lee and Harvey Oswaldovich brothers. They could be patsies, not necessarily for our government, but they could have been stooges for some terrorist organization or elements, you know, in this country who want to do us harm. I don't think the government as an institution per se, but George, there are elements within our government that are capable of some dark stuff.
Oh, I agree with that.
Very dark
stuff. I agree with it, but I mean...
Rest of the government's caught and has to cover it up, even though they didn't perpetrate it.
Yeah, I mean, but the kid's basically admitting in the hospital.
He's got a bullet in his neck. I don't believe one word they say he's saying.
But you don't discount the fact that maybe they did do it.
No, maybe they did, but they didn't do it by themselves.
Well, I don't think they did either.
Because you can't, those bombs need to be tested.
I think somebody made the bombs for them. I think they were mules.
There's more people involved, let's say at the very least.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're Chechen, and another thing that's fishy is they're rolling out, and it's incredibly irresponsible of the press at the beginning of this, Wolf Blitzer, for instance, saying, were there any Tea Party people that, you know, are there any Patriot, you know, like, are there any Martians there? I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Tea Party, but you don't say something like that without cooperation.
Sure.
So he's tying together a group with this horrific event. That's incredibly irresponsible journalism.
Would it surprise you if the Russians rolled back into Chechnya now?
Russians made it known to us. They warned us about this kid a while back.
A couple times.
But that's their way of letting people know, you know, this is your guy, man.
Yeah.
You know,
told you.
Well, people are trying to say, well, that maybe when they were in Russia, they were trained. No, the Russians are telling us, like they did with Oswald and these other fake defectors. The Russians, you know, they're not, you know, I'm not a big fan, but they're not stupid. And they're saying, look, this is your guy. That's why it's fishy to me.
Well, it is strange.
Why would the Russians be warning us about some young kid? Why?
A year before it happened.
Why? That's just a rhetorical question. It's very fishy.
All right. Back to Kennedy. Back to your work hit list. When I was younger, I kept hearing strange stories that witnesses were dying.
Ah.
I learned at a young age, Richard, that there are no coincidences, that things generally happen for a reason.
Yeah, I learned that very early, too, but not as early as you.
These witnesses that started dying or disappearing,
right.
Were they people who were at the scene when Kennedy got assassinated, or were they government people? Who were they?
They were CIA people, FBI people, newspaper reporters, doctors.
Who people. Have died?
They were murdered suspiciously. Mob guys who were, you know, just about to testify, murdered. William Sullivan, FBI director, was talking a little bit too much. He was shot by a state trooper, a chief of the state trooper's son, thought he was a deer. The guy's on his porch. There were two newspaper reporters. And when you kill reporters, it's serious. There were two newspaper reporters who were in Dallas at an apartment where the murder was discussed prior to the assassination.
Okay.
One of them came home one day and was surprised by a burglar who killed him. The other one was shot by accident. They murdered two reporters who had foreknowledge. People, you know, were hung in jail cells. Dorothy Kilgallen, a really good reporter. She was on What's My Line,
right.
But she was a really good reporter. She wasn't just a TV personality. She was a hard news.
And had a lot of clout.
She's like a great, great.
She was like Walter Winchell of the
press.
Yeah,
but he was a fascist. She was. no, really, he was. He was a terrible, terrible guy. He had people beat up. He was
Winchell did?
Oh, yeah.
All right. That's another story.
Barry Gray, Barry Gray.
Yeah.
Winchell almost had him beat to death, but that's another story. Anyway, Dorothy Kilgallen was the only reporter to get Jack Ruby alone for a while.
That's right.
And she told her agent, her best friend, and a couple other people that she's going to blow the lid off this case.
And we never heard what happened, did we?
Well, she was murdered. They found her in bed in her apartment. Not her bed, a guest room bed that she never slept in. All her makeup's on. She has a book on her that she already read. Her eyeglasses are nowhere to be found.
And tell me, her notes are gone, right?
Her notes are gone. And they say she died of barbiturate and alcohol. She took too many sleeping pills. They found three different kinds of barbiturates inside her. The two others she didn't have access to. Next day, her friend who she told about it, dead. Everyone who she told, dead. All her notes, gone. She had said before she died, J. Edgar Hoover would be better served finding out who killed our president than harassing me.
Interesting.
That's
scary.
It's very scary. And there's other people who, you know, we have 50 names in there. And we did, thing I love about my partner, David Wayne, he's a micro analyst of how the media covers events.
What are the odds? What are the odds of these people dying this way?
Well, that's a good question. You talk about coincidence.
I bet it's astronomical.
Yeah, well, the London Times hired a mathematician to do the actuary.
Okay.
And but we keep changing it because in the first 18 months after the murder of John Kennedy, there were a certain amount of deaths, okay? So the odds, some of them were, you know, like some were gunshots, some were car. Two were natural causes. The others were strange, you know, like car accidents, electrocution.
No witnesses
slit throat,
to them.
All that. So the odds of those people dying in that period of amount of time, I believe in the first one was like 100,000 trillion to one.
Richard, we're going to take this break. We're going to come back more with Richard Belzer as we talk about Hit List on Coast to Coast AM.